Well, then let me start the recorder on this 11 a.m. City County Monthly Update in the BCC Conference Room. Commissioner Morgan, Chair, is not here, and neither is Council President yet. I heard a rumor he might make it.
Yes.
Well, welcome. How are things?
Living the dream.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that it has a good spin.
Yeah.
Did you bring anything that you have as a priority to talk about today?
Not at the moment.
That's a no. I have a couple things.
So I just want to make sure that we confirm that we've got CEDC report and emergency management report at our joint meeting on Monday. So okay. They'll be giving reports. And I don't know if there's anything else that you'd like to have on the agenda for our Monday joint meeting.
I just reading the courier, I see River Road Reserve is up for serious bidders, so on and so forth. How did you arrive at that? I'm assuming you've made a decision as a council you want to sell it?
No.
No.
Okay. So, because that's kind of what the headline read.
All right.
You know, city looking at all serious buyers, blah, 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 blah.
Of course. Like,
as you wanted to put it up for sale. And my question is that what is going to be done about the activity that's currently going on out there? Because as this thing has been, you know, you've got the airstrip out there for radio control, got the balloon festival, you've got the UCAN out there, the food bank, and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, the food bank will stay. Okay. We have requirements that the food bank needs to be there, and we can compartmentalize out the food bank piece of property and still be allowed to do whatever council deems appropriate with the rest of it.
Do they have rights to a first refusal on a 25 acres across the road?
I don't know. I don't remember reading that in the contract.
Right. It seemed like there was some sort of
set aside. But they've got a long-term lease on it.
Right. I just didn't know if that was under the lease.
Is that the first 25 right off the highway there?
To the right.
Yeah.
To
the right. Right across the street of the building.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where the food bank building is, the refrigerators and the offices and the meeting
so
room,
so
the kitchen.
With regards to the River Road Reserve, council has provided some initial direction to staff to draft a request for proposal for the River Road Reserve, which may include, and I'm leaving a blank 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 because that's what we're looking for. We're looking for interested parties. What are they interested in? Are they interested in
part,
potentially,
whole.
Part, whole? We are, from a staff perspective, have a couple of concepts where we may want to hold on to some of the property for either future wetland issues for irrigation.
For mitigation
or whatever.
Wetland from here out to there.
Or from our wastewater treatment plant or temperature control for effluent. So there's a couple of things that we may want to keep a certain amount. So as we're developing that RFP, we'll maybe throw in a certain portion that we may be interested in holding. But then the RFP will be drafted and reviewed by council, and council will have an opportunity to confirm what will be put in the RFP. Is it going to be that it's just lease only? Is it going to be that it could be a lease sale potential option? So that's ultimately that the RFP is being drafted, but before the RFP is published, it'll go back to council for their review and consideration.
So if somebody had an idea of what they thought, they're a long range idea of what to do with that land, you could just write it out and just submit it?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have to be a person interested in buying or a person interested
no, we're
in
looking
developing.
No, we're looking at true individuals that are, because we're
ideas.
Coming towards the end of the lease, council.
Yeah, 21st is the end of the lease. Council's
wanting to have some direction on where we're going to move in the future with that.
Could renewal of the lease be with
that's one of the options.
That could be, if they're interested in it, then they would have the ability to throw in a response to that proposal.
Krauss would have to do that.
Yes.
Yeah. And I assume they probably will.
That probably would. Yeah. It's a likely scenario.
Yeah. Well, and is there a group that's looking at it outside of the council? Is it in a committee somewhere? Is Parks looking at it, or was there a special group formed to look at it, or?
Do Do you want to talk about that, or you want me to mention it? The PAVE?
Well, the PAVE committee is looking at it now.
Okay.
Well, we're not going to pave it. It's farmland. We're not going to pave that. That's too
so
much
we do have. We
we're
do have.
Pave in it. We're going to pave the parking lot at the fairground.
We do have two active performance audit vision enhancement programs right now. I know, Commissioner.
Yeah,
I know.
Just
but just for everyone listening, so they know what the PAVE stands for, that it. We've got two, and one is focused on property management, which includes a review of our property inventory and what we have in place. So council, though, has also stated that they want to be taking the lead at this time on taking a look at what to do with the River Road Reserve. So that's why they're going through the RFP process. The PAVE process right now, as far as I'm understanding, is that they will have a cursory review of River Road Reserve, but council's taking the lead on the River Road Reserve discussion.
Okay. Because I know that, you know, that's always, it was always a bone of contention of why to even buy the thing in the first place.
Yeah. Right.
But, you know, as I told Martin Siebold years and years ago, that probably years gone by, that'll be the purchase of a lifetime. That'll probably be one of the best things the city ever did. Purchase River Road Reserve, but that's my own personal opinion. Doesn't have anything to do with the council or this board.
Well, but you are a commissioner. And I agree. I think hanging on to it's the best decision.
Yeah, let's get some ideas and see where
that's the whole
thing. Send up a balloon and see if anybody pops it and go from there.
We're not popping any balloons this week, and I'm going up on
Saturday
morning, okay?
Excuse me.
Me and my grandson. Well, then I'm going to drop him off and go up to the Dollar Mountain cleanup, trail cleanup day, which I saw there's already some work going on the trail. I was on it a few days ago.
Yeah.
And there's already some stuff going on, little trash bags here and there.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be a cool spot.
There's some high school kids that are going to be involved. There's about, the last I heard, was 20 or 30 kids.
Oh, wow. Hope they all don't get poison oak.
A lot of interest in Dollar Mountain. And future recreational potential there.
Well, and it could take some of the weight off of Cathedral,
because
Cathedral's well used.
Yeah.
And that having it close to town and on this side of the river is a big deal. So.
Yep. Yep.
I also like that purchase, regardless of what the newspaper says.
Yeah, we've got a lot of excitement. A lot of people are just ready to go. So it's exciting. Yeah.
Good deal.
Yeah. And I think many of the homeowners nearby are in favor of it for several reasons. One, because the property is going to be used, and also through the use is going to mitigate and perhaps even eliminate the camping up there.
Some bad activity, yep.
The bad activity.
For sure. And I'm still hoping, and every time we talk about it, I'll probably mention that it'd be nice to develop one or two vistas with that, wherever the parking is, because there's some great views to be had, but we don't really have a vista point to send people to. Hey, I want to see the lights of the city or something, and you're like, ah, sorry. Yeah, you can
get on I-5 on exit 58, drive towards 55.
Drive in the parking lane.
Right before you get off, look right, and you'll see the city.
I know, right? But it'd be a nice spot for even those that don't hike and don't ride on horseback or bicycles could go to the vista and enjoy. The same.
And the vista of the Grants Pass end of the valley is coming off Sexton.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, because there's a great spot for a trailhead at the, or a parking lot at the trailhead on Crescent.
Yeah.
But I don't know about the top, the other end, if there's any other spot.
Yeah.
And so just want to keep throwing that out.
Developing the plan for that's going to be exciting because I think it has a lot of potential.
Oh, it has a huge
potential. We're talking about Dollar Mountain.
Yeah. I'm telling everybody they can come volunteer on Saturday at 8:30 if they want to help.
This is just a question I have because we are talking about stepping up some changes in sidewalks and thing up on Beacon Drive.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what the city's plans are of us eventually giving that to you. Don't smile. This is not funny. This is serious stuff. We want rid of Beacon Drive, and we don't know. But at some point in time, you're going to have to, as a city, say, we're going to relax our city standards of having 66 foot of right of way that you seem to never want to come off of? Because that's never going to happen on Beacon. So what will you accept up there?
Well, depending on the road, it could be up to 70. We've narrowed down Allen Creek to 66.
Say, you missed that one completely, and you're sharper than that. I know you are. So what is it, you know, at some point in time, we're going to have to say, that's as good as it's going to get.
They'll have to see the proposal, Dan.
I think it's really early to respond to that question.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, are you okay with at some point in time, it's not going to be full city standards of arterial streets and your beautification of bike paths and Rogue River Highway idea of doing things? Are you okay with accepting something of a lesser degree, with as much as we can do up there without having to have an elevator to the houses uphill and an elevator to the houses downhill?
Yeah, really.
It's going to be an escalator, actually.
We can get a deal. We get a bunch of them.
That's kind of why, because this is down the road a long ways, be long after I'm off the dance floor, but I want us to start thinking about it because, you know, I don't like Beacon. Never have liked Beacon.
Well, and I'm sure a lot of the neighbors that live on the street don't like it either.
Exactly. So I just want to know if there is light at the end of the tunnel.
And, you know, that's one of the key reasons why we try to plan in advance and prepare for future development, even though you may not think, or people think, well, we don't need 70 feet of right-of-way. Well, 20 years from now, you're going to be saying, thank you, you did keep 70 feet of
right-of-way. In 1964 and 5, when they did the Redwood Highway out there, two lanes both ways, that was the dumbest thing anybody could have ever come up with. And look at it now.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
But it took 50 years to develop into something.
To grow into it. It
will get there.
Which, you know, we have.
Ultimately, to respond to your question, it's a situational thing based on what street, what roads, what conditions they're in with regards to transfer. And again, it's not me to say whether or not we're going to do it or not. It is the policy board and the policy boards at the time. So.
Yeah,
but there has been history, I believe, of municipalities and even locally of the city taking on jurisdictional exchange of roads that were really truly to city standards. So I would imagine that it is a situational thing that can be discussed.
You have to face reality of what the situation is.
Well, yeah, if you try and put sidewalks on both sides of that, you're just going to ruin people's houses in their front yards. So. Well, there's got to be a compromise. But there also wants to be the communication that if we're going to redo that road and redo parts of G Street and parts of Lower River Road, do you want to get some infrastructure in there as well while we're peeling open the street?
Yeah.
I'm sure Rob will work closely.
Do you have any annexation plans in the weeds?
Not at the moment. So that would be more developer driven. And I say that because things have changed a little bit at the state level, where there's language in our charter that states that all annexations must go to a vote of the people. However, that's been preempted now by state law. So technically, we're not focused on receiving service and annexation agreements as they come in. But as developers want to annex, we'll go through a regular annexation process that without a vote, the majority of municipalities do. Now, it's not a scary thing without a vote, because these are annexations that are coming to the city of, yes, I want to be in the city. So it's not that we're going out looking at acquiring new land. We will just be able to facilitate the annexation process easier now.
I'm looking at the little chunk of ground up there on the end of 9th Street where the Humpley Bumpleys are, the second.
Yes.
Humpley Bumpley is in the county.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's just kind of a little finger that comes down in there, and why it does that, I don't have a clue. When, you know, that really should be in the city.
Yeah,
Most of the cities you're going
to
get.
I think that's a good point. I think there are some improvements that would need to be discussed at that point in time. I think stormwater would be one of those issues that currently right now that's some open ditch out there, I believe.
There is some open ditch.
And that does create some issues with some properties within the city. And those kind of issues, I think, would need to be discussed.
Okay. Hillcrest property, what's your plans on for the Hillcrest property up there?
The city-owned piece of property.
Yeah.
So, do you, any of you want to jump in, or do you want me to? Can...
You can go ahead. I mean, it's like a, it's not going to be anything fancy. Kind of a...
But there's a park development plan.
Yeah.
Developing right now, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's it going to be?
Have you seen a draft or anything?
So, what? Yeah, what we're looking at is we're looking at some walking trails. So maybe a dog park of some sort, but nothing major. Relatively just green open space.
Okay. Parking, not
a lot of, not a lot of infrastructure or restrooms or
just
or,
parking maybe.
Maybe some little parking. We have some development issues with Hillcrest. We'll be able to develop it as a nice larger neighborhood park, but to make it more of a larger impact park, we have parking development issues. That road technically would need to have curb, gutter, sidewalk all the way up to it, to where the city properties were fully developed
along the county
standards
road.
Along a county road. So there's development issues with that. So we're going to work within that to still provide for a park, but without having to try to upgrade that full transportation infrastructure to the park.
All right. But if you'd like to improve a county road, I'm sure that we'd be open to that.
Well, I don't know. Is there any objections? Why wouldn't we want to do that? We might as well take on the Y also and just do that.
I'm not arguing.
Yeah.
Did you hear that? Would you speak?
So the one thing the audio does not pick up is sarcasm in body language, which was given at that same time I was speaking.
disclaimer.
But you don't have anything concrete for that up there.
But they're getting close.
We are in the process of going through the planning process. We have dollars set aside in this year's budget to continue the development of Hillcrest, which would also include planning and actually having it.
Are you open to repurposing that for something else?
Or parts of it.
Which certainly, there's a potential idea that the board might have or a community member might have, we'd love to be able to talk with you about that.
Okay, that's how I just wanted to know if the channel was open or if you had it dedicated.
If it was already down the road so far, yeah.
But we're in the process of starting, so if there's something...
Well, that's what I want to know where you are in that process, because just for my own sake, I want to know if you're, we've already got money budgeted for that, and we got the plans laid out, and gosh, we've got an artist.
We're starting tomorrow.
What it's going to look like, and it's going to be a 12-tier parking structure for downtown with a zip wire to... Dutch Brothers and so on. So
right?
You never know. I'm just wondering.
That's a good idea.
That's
a great idea.
Go over
so coy, Dan. Why don't you just tell us what you want?
Yeah, why don't we start? Well, you could zip line underneath the underpass and then right on down to
over the cemetery
to the high school. Then you can the high school parking for the
kids. Not over people's houses.
And go.
Have a tram up going back up.
No, I just a question that came up the other day, and that's what I was asking.
Yeah. Well, this now would be the time if there's any other idea concepts left.
Yeah, Rob?
Well, just one concept I've bounced around with kind of related to that area. Has AllCare been approached as for some kind of an even like a public-private partnership? I mean, I think the county, I'll speak for Public Works, would be willing to throw in on a sidewalk going up Hillcrest, and maybe AllCare would do it as a kind of a keystone project as part of, I don't know, Blue Stones or something like that. Or not
Blue Zone.
Blue Zone.
Right.
But yeah, you know, because they've got that huge parcel now to the east of their existing building, and maybe you could put a big rip of sidewalk in all at once with some.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's we've effort. Had some discussions with AllCare, and I think some of that development is slowed down on their end with their phase two that they're doing.
Well, they had the governor down here to dedicate the next phase, and that was almost 2 years ago. In fact, it was 2 years ago.
Yep.
But we think partnering with AllCare when they go into their phase two, that would be, there's some potential there for that.
Yeah. Nice fit, especially on the southern side with the hill of the cemetery.
Yeah.
That's just big, and that's a cheap sidewalk to put in, actually.
Yeah.
As things go.
Right on.
Just a thought.
Anything else, sir? You're on a roll.
ACR, Allen Creek Road.
Ah, here we are. Allen Creek.
Have you guys voted on that yet?
Have you given jurisdiction? We've requested jurisdictional exchange from the county. So I guess, where are we with that?
Chairman?
Vice Chair, thank you.
Chairman.
Yeah, we voted on it.
Yes, we did.
You haven't heard a response from us on that?
No, I haven't. I haven't gotten a response.
Must be stuck in legal.
And we sent it over to legal.
Yeah, but I think yes.
Yes.
We ended up saying yes.
Oh, all right then. Then we'll be moving forward with the project.
I think that's the wishes that we had.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That way it kind of gets it out of the mire that it's in right now, and you can, we'll wait to see what legal says, but you know, this all the language now is all it is. I don't think there's a problem with it.
Super. That's nice to hear. Looking forward to seeing that come over.
So. I would like to see the developer pay for more of it, you know, do an abbreviated deal through there right now, you know, not necessarily the full meal deal with the taxpayers of the city of Grants Pass catching on to whatever is not covered under ODOT and federal and CMAQ and all the other stuff. It's gonna, I don't know what that, you were gonna rescope that to see if what that was gonna fire up to? Did you ever
We did not, we decided to move ahead with the project and not spend the $34,000, $35,000 to rescope
find it. Find out, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So
this will unleash that, and then are you guys going to pick up the tab for the rest, or are you going to form an LID and put it on the property owners?
So council at this point in time has not discussed the formation of an LID. That has not been in our discussion, so we'd be looking at picking up the rest. I don't know. Wade, do you have any idea of what we're looking at trying to pick up? I know it's off the cuff, but...
I think it was another like $800,000 and we budgeted for it, so we have money.
So, and we do.
I don't care what you budgeted for. I want to know what it's going to cost. I can budget for anything, but if it doesn't cover the actual true cost, so you're saying it's $800,000 above what?
What's already in the pot?
Allocated?
Yeah, it's already in the pot. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Don't forget our 120.
So ultimately, what we're going to need to do in order to make up for that is we have some funding for other projects. We're probably going
to... You'll just postpone another project and bring it out to that to finish that one.
In essence, yes.
I think the key is that it gets done. I think ODOT's been very, very patient. More patient than I would have expected. Thank you, Mr. Anderson.
If I could, though.
Yeah, if you want to...
Actually, that wasn't the purpose of me showing up.
You have a softer
today.
Voice. No, could I have you come up, Art?
I was invited by Commissioner Morgan.
Unless you're going to talk louder.
And I really wasn't sure. In fact, I talked to Rob and said, do you have any idea really what I'm being invited for on this thing? So it wasn't like I was slipping in here to be the secret Allen Creek listener. No, seriously. I'm there at the Caveman ribbon cutting, and we started talking about transportation, and I would have to get things done. She just said, hey, look, I'd like to talk to you. Next thing I know, Rob sent me an invite. So,
is there anything you'd like to bring to the table? I mean, this is a city counter.
No, you know what?
You're okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm just going back through some of our notes because if you didn't get an idea of why you were here, I'm just trying to figure out maybe the request. I know in the past we've talked about the center lane of the railroad tracks on 6th Street.
Yeah.
And if we can get a response on when that will be taken care of so we can stop having to get our cars realigned and new wheels because they're bent.
Have you sent any notice to ODOT about that situation? Because it seems like we've talked about it a bunch, but has there been a formal ask? Or
we've talked about both of us reaching out to Jerry from ODOT.
Yeah, at the staff level.
But I haven't
received it. So it's initiated, but hasn't.
Yeah, I don't know where we're
back or where we're at.
I'm just trying to see what other.
So that's 6th Street.
Center lane.
Mm-hmm. Center lane crossing, railroad crossing.
Right here.
I'll drive it on the way out.
Yeah.
Watch when the car.
Yeah. Are you in your wife's car?
Art, if you watch when the car in front of you goes over, watch that rail bounce up and down. The pads aren't bouncing up and down. The rail itself is bouncing up and down. That's concerning to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I saw they were staging railroad ties.
Yeah, they were.
They're doing a bunch of ties. In fact, they've got a.
But that's an engineered pallet of some sort that's under that that's sinking. Yeah. It's not quite a railroad tie. Yeah. Some precast concrete thing. Yeah.
It's going to have a traffic problem when they fix it.
Oh, yeah.
I would also like, I guess, while you're in the room, Art, I would like to know a pathway and where we stand on the commuter lane, because I was out there again the other day, and the outbound lanes were backed up all the way to the bridge, trying to get around that corner because there's nowhere to go once you get around the corner.
You're talking about third lane on 199.
Third lane on 199, inbound and outbound.
There's no plans for anything.
How do we start that? How do we start that plan?
You know, we tried to get it funded under House Bill 2017. That didn't happen. Most of the money went to up north, Portland and Salem. We got some money for our seismic triage route on Gideon in case of the earthquake event, which was about $30 million. We also had, we had asked for money for the Southwise study. We asked for money for the 199, and there was something else off the top of my head I can't remember. But nothing got funded.
Who do we ask? You say we asked for, but who do you ask? Do you ask the legislature? Do we do that through our representatives?
Yeah, the legislature did their visits throughout the state a couple of years back before this bill was brought in for them to decide on. They did an outreach program. They had an outreach in Medford, and there was, in fact, I think, Mayor, you were at that meeting.
I think so.
And there was discussion about, we had poster boards. We presented problematic issues both in Jackson County and Josephine County. The ones in Jackson County we had was the seismic triage. I think South Stage was up there, but that's not even, that didn't even reach on the radar. And then we had a couple from Josephine County. And from there, it just, gets folded into priorities that the legislators look at.
And the question I'm asking is, because this was not on the radar until just recently, how do we get started on it from right now, from ground zero? I'm getting huge feedback saying do that. I mean, I'm standing out there in traffic and I'm watching everybody just gridlock because they're trying to get into the two lanes when all they want to do, and then you watch, if you go to the other end and watch the people carve off from that right-hand lane, I could have left them in that right-hand lane all the way and kept both lines open. It's not, to me, it's not rocket science at all. If you just sit there and watch it for an hour or two a day, you would say, gosh, why don't we have that third lane off to the right? It seems like a real easy fix that really doesn't need to be a congressional act to do it. So how do we get started down that road of saying, this is what we would like to do, this is what we want you to start the study, and say, yes, it'll fix it, no, it won't, or yes, it will help by, if it helps 10%, it's like the lightning rod thing. I'm not trying to drain every electrical cloud. I just want to do part of it. I want to start in the right direction. So maybe we'll have, instead of having 20 years or 10 years of gridlock out there, if we can fix it for now, maybe we'll gain another 10 years to when we really get the overall study going, especially if the study got shot down.
I think the big thing is what funding pot are we going to be able to get?
If I just put together a project, I think that's ODOT's mandate to say, I don't know where we're going to do this, but this is what we need to do, because that's not my wheelhouse.
Remember, we already have an EA that we did for that entire corridor through there. And the piece that we didn't finish was basically Allen Creek all the way into the South Y, because it was untenable. So we basically backed out of it, and we reallocated the funding to Merlin interchange into Allen Creek. If we want to go back in that direction and raise that issue, I think we're fine with that. One, we want to make sure that we have county and city support.
I don't want to take the full meal deal of alternative A, because that isn't going to work. Okay. All I want is a traffic lane. One, I don't want a big project. I want a little bitty guy that kind of takes some of the relieves some of the pressure off of this, off of that exchange out there. It's not a huge. It doesn't need to be part of like a Fern Valley or a 62 bypass. It's one traffic lane either direction in land that's already owned by ODOT.
Right, right away is already there.
The right away is already there. It's one traffic signal at Ringette. Doesn't affect any other traffic signal anywhere else on the whole place, on the whole planet. And I think it will help our congestion out there immensely, but we want it to be part of a bigger project. And I don't, getting the big project probably is farther out than what I would like to see a fix that could happen within the next year. And say, Copeland, get out there and pay that.
Well, I think
a small project.
Well, you got to figure out, to just build a small segment, you got to go and look at the traffic analysis of that before you just say we're going to build this small segment, because you got to look at the ripple effect downstream, upstream, etc.
How do we do that then? How do we get started on that?
Honestly, we would have to find some funding to do a maybe a study of a phased approach of phase three of the environmental assessment to say, okay, if we can't buy this, if we can't do this whole thing in one kit and caboodle, how could we maybe break that down and look at it in chunks? And you know, maybe there's some planning money that we could, I could ask. I'm not, you know, going to guarantee anything because our planning money is very limited. I don't control the planning. Mike Baker does. You know, Mike.
Yeah.
And see if there's a way that you could phase that, or look at that and how you could break it down and relook at the traffic to see what is the smart thing to do, what's the right thing to do, and at the same time get a relative idea on the cost of that.
So are you saying that I need to get hold of Mike Baker and take him out there and just sit down there in a
no,
long
no,
chair?
No, I can call Mike and ask him, hey, look, is this a possibility? And then I can get back with you. And then I can ask him if there's any other possibilities. If that's not the case, what else do we have that we can look at?
Would it be helpful if I drew out on a map what I think needs to happen and then you say yes or no?
I think what we need to do first is let's figure out a mechanism to actually kind of see how we can do this, mm-hmm. and then we can get to that point.
Okay. I'll draw it out anyway so you know what I'm thinking of so that
well,
we're not,
I think I know what you're talking about.
We're not reinventing the wheel.
Your initial idea was to put it in the area that's to the, I'll call it the north side, and just drop it
north
down
side.
There.
Yep.
And then we had talked about, hey, look, if you're adding a third lane, you've got to have curb gutter and sidewalks. And if you do that, the best place to do it is to go inside, basically to fill up the ditch area and culvert it.
Well, curb gutter and sidewalks is already there on most
right.
north
so,
side.
So if
on
you
the north side.
North side, you'd be destroying curb gutter and sidewalk and then having to rebuild it.
Right.
So
now,
that'd
be the starting point, I would think, the existing.
Can I interrupt you there? My wife and I did this one day, and I know it's illegal, and I shouldn't have done it, but I did it. Just she said, we're going to jail, and I says, I'll just flash from my deputy card. Yeah, right. Stayed there. Right. I came, went around at Bi-Mart and stayed in what is the merge lane, and I stayed in it. I stayed in it all the way across the irrigation canal because the abutment's already been moved. I stayed in it. I went past Figaro's Pizza. I went right past what now is we've moved everything inboard at Dutch Brothers and to make the intersection wider at Ringgat. I stayed right in it. I went right past the fairgrounds and I curved off. I never once broke a sweat. And it was already there. It was already paved. It was already delineated with a curb gutter and sidewalk. Or curb and gutter in most of the places, and drove right on through and went out. So I didn't see, unless you shifted over 4 or 5 feet in the inboard, but I didn't see saying, well, we got to fill that big ditch in, and we got it, when it was already there, I already did it.
Let me ask you
and it's a commuter lane.
Let me ask you a question. I know we can't get a real answer because we can't get a total vote from the commission in the city, but does the city and the county, do you think the political will has changed to where now it would be that would be tenable if we were to try to find a way to fund that whole third phase that we would get support from the city and county?
Yes,
alternative A?
No, or some relook at it.
Well, the alternative, the hang up on that thing the whole time was about punching up Allen Creek, okay? There were business owners in that area that got to whoever, and they basically got the lawyers involved, and they were very upset that we were going to take out some of those locations because we had to extend. The road was going to get extended, and it was going to tie into the fairgrounds on that side over there, which I see now there is some plans to kind of do that if they want to bring in the horse racing thing. They got to have some sort of access back there. But that was one of the big issues that brought about, you know, the demise of that project was, hey, look, these businesses are going to be impacted. You know, I haven't driven out there lately, but the last time I did, I didn't see a lot of things going on out there. And so I don't know if there's a change in that will or not. And if there is, that would be something very good for me to up channel to my bosses and say, hey, look, things have kind of changed down here. Maybe the thing we need to explore is taking a look at that larger third phase. And do we set up some sort of basically get to the table with an understanding of what we want to do, get support, get an agreement signed between the three parties, ODOT, the county, and the city, to say, yeah, okay, we're on board, and then we can move forward and try to find a way to get this thing funded, if not the whole thing, at least pieces of it, and then we can build it out.
Well, my issue with Alternative A going way back is that the money that was offered by ODOT didn't cover the total cost of $23.5 million.
and it was a roughly $5 million, it would have been $18.5 million signed on by the city with no money from ODOT or the state funding it after that.
It was about the $13 million project, and we had about $6 million. But at the time, Paul Mather was the region manager, and we were committed. You remember the 199 project down there that we did the work on, the first two phases coming in? We didn't have any money for that when we first started.
Right.
We found a way to fund it because we were you know, desperate on taking cleaning up some of those safety issues out there.
Yeah. Well, I've going back to the third bridge out there. I mean, the third lane. What you're saying is it has to be part of a great big project, and you know, if we don't do the great big project, we can't have the third lane. And I want to respectfully disagree with that, because I think that third lane, strictly me, I'm not a traffic engineer, I haven't done any studies, but I can sit there in my car waiting to get under the underpass, and I can watch cars all the way back to Caveman Bridge of people that want to go home in the afternoon, and they can't. And it just bottlenecks that whole thing up. Instead of three lanes going when the light turns green, there's only two lanes going, and those people are jockeying to get back and forth to get over to the hospital and to get over that way, and they can't get through that. If the third lane was there, it to me, it would fix. It's not going to cure it, but it'll fix it.
I wasn't saying that you have to do the whole thing. What I'm saying is, if the political will there is now, and there wants to be some discussion, I think it opens the door, makes it a lot easier to talk about funding and finding funding, whatever way we can, to do little phases of this thing if we break it down into phases, or to fund the whole darn thing.
Let's find that funding. I think one of the important things that we need to look at as a county is this horse racing element, because that's going to completely change an awful lot of the complexion
and
out there.
Need three lanes on each side.
And it's
going to increase traffic.
Right. And we're going to increase traffic and stuff. Yeah. But I think what we want to do is, it's just a question I have, because it just, it seems to me like that is a quick, easy snap the finger fix, much the same as painting keep clear on Harbeck Road. It wasn't an act of Congress, just keep clear, let cars go in and out of the credit union, and it kind of took care of that Union Avenue 238 mess to a certain extent, almost free.
And I would add that here we are 8-9 years later, and the traffic has only increased,
right.
And so the safety has decreased.
Yeah.
And so it's time, I think, for an ODOT facility to be evaluated for safety.
Right.
Well, I think we've got that evaluation. We have it. We just got to, worked it out at EA, and we got the OTC to approve it. It's sitting there. The only phase that isn't built is the third phase. Can we build parts of it, or can we build the whole thing? If the city and the county would like us to move forward with looking at the whole piece, we can. Or we can look at, you know, I can sell it a lot easier if we're going to say, okay, we're going to support ODOT if our ultimate goal is to build this whole thing. And the first phase of it is whatever money we can get our hands on. Because right now I don't even know where we get the money, but at least we can get some money to fund this. Because we're going to have the engineers go in and say, we don't build the whole thing, we want to build this one piece. What's the best piece to build, and what's it going to cost?
But can we do an engineering study on that first piece and say how much this helps or doesn't help? Because it seemed to me that in the original engineer study, traffic study for Alternative A, the savings in drive time between the South Y and Dow Road was 30 seconds. It worked out to somewhere in the neighborhood about $86,000 a second, and that's not a bargain to me. That doesn't help anything to me. 30 seconds drive time means nothing. But I think, like I say, that the third lane, inboard and outboard, which is, to me, sounds relatively simple because I don't know traffic. But that sounds to me like that is what should be a project all by itself as an, I don't know, enhance or fix it or whatever. I don't know where the fund of money comes from. But if we actually scoped it legitimately and said, okay, this is what it's really going to cost us, and say that's a project that I think you would get city and county buy-in on that particular phase of it, but I don't know what it would take to get city and county buy-in for what you guys had for Alternative A 12 years ago, because it was such a drastic change, and it was the business community that just blew up over that thing.
Well, it was the business communities around Allen Creek.
And right, exactly.
Do we still have the same issue there?
right.
today that we had then.
Well, we have a different fix that seems to be working, where we changed the Allen Creek width and traffic patterns there, and it seems to be working and unclogged that pork chop that was out there.
But isn't there a plan to punch that now through to try to get it into the back door for the
yeah, and it already does.
No, don't you mean that little mud brook that goes into the parking lot now?
No, the one that for the expansion.
I'm going to say that all of that is up in the air with the horse racing thing. There's this thing is we're in the infancy stages of that. We're not at liberty to say what we've had talks at executive session about. But that whole snapshot out there is going to change, I would say, pretty dramatically with the advent of the horse racing. And, I, you know, to that little butt nook thing, you know, right now it just enters into the parking lot. But that whole complexion out there could change at some point in time. And I don't know whether punching through, you're talking about punching through West Park Street?
Pansy.
Mm-hmm.
Pansy. Pansy.
Yeah, and all that may change on
all the end of Allen Creek.
It's up in the air.
Okay.
And so,
I
also think going back to the adding the third lane and the already existing property would buy some time on the South Y because it would unclog that. That's getting clogged by there not being enough lanes.
Yeah.
And so we need to buy some time on the South Y because we know that's 15 years.
That's
going to
be
a long ways considering ODOT funding.
That's going to be a huge, huge project. That's going to be a Fern Valley or a Barnett Road. That size in scope, that's going to be huge out there, and that's going to be so far down the road.
How's
I mean, we're budgeting right now for, what, 24, 25, somewhere in there?
Nope.
20 right now are 24. We're finishing up scoping, so the next step cycle will be, what, 23, 26?
It looks great already.
It does look
better.
Yeah, 4 years, 26.
Because of the rain.
Or 24 through 27, one of those two.
Yeah, so we're out there a long ways.
Let me talk with two people. Let me talk to Mike. Let me talk to Frank, our
okay.
manager.
Okay.
And kind of get his take on, because they both know the history on this whole thing too. And just what are their thoughts in regards to something that we may be able to fund directly out of the region. But, you know, I'm just telling you the politics of it, which you already know, that I think if we were looking at a larger fix, I will tell you this, if we can get by on the larger fix, I know I can convince Frank to find somehow, some way to cobble together money over the next several years to try to get that thing funded, because we feel that strongly about it. And it's going to, I mean, the traffic's only going to get worse out there.
But the larger fix, getting buy-in from the larger fix, it didn't fly 8 years ago. Because of the business community out there, but I'm thinking that whole business community
changed.
The snapshot has a real potential to change out there.
Yeah.
And what we came up with, what was a larger fix 10 years ago, probably would have been some of a good portion could have been torn out anyway. So I think or changed dramatically.
Yeah.
I don't want to do something until we look at the whole comprehensive snapshot.
That should be integrated into the whole
okay.
realignment and the discussion. I think the thing is that if you've got to widen and you've got to put Pansy in to the connection and all back there, there's some land, there's some properties out there that got to be bought out.
Right.
And that's the issue. That's the crux of the issue. Is that something that is tenable or not?
Yeah, it's on the table because there's, we'll know in a few months.
Yeah, here, we're getting into executive session stuff, so I think we'll leave it at that. But that snapshot could change dramatically.
What Art is saying, though, is that from just like, which you're very familiar with, you've got to have a master plan in order to get funding for certain projects and things. And what he's trying to express is that the best case scenario from his perspective is, let me hear from both policy boards saying, yes, you have, I believe the climate's changed, there is some backing, let's start on this big project. I don't think that means that you have to give up on the slip lane concept, although that would be incorporated in there. That'd be something to discuss, but I think at this point in time, we're at a spot right now where we've heard from ODOT saying, you know, we're willing to step up and start really putting some resources into looking at this and redoing this why, if we are told that you believe the climate has changed. think this is an opportunity for us to say, yeah, the climate's changed, let's get moving on this thing.
That's exactly.
I think the big lump was, as you say, Allen Creek Road. We're going to get that one done. So that's out, that'll be out of our hair. And but I don't want to be held, I don't can't call it hostage. I just don't want this small project that means so much to so many people on the in the day after tomorrow realm rather than 20 years from now or 10 years from now. I don't want that to be hinged on you either take this great big Fern Valley style interchange or Barnett Road interchange in the future that we're all signing on to that because we want to get two lanes. You know, yeah. That's why I don't. I,
what I would say
it has to be that way. And maybe it does, and maybe it'll just never happen because
what
I don't know what buy-in is.
One tiny small slip lane isn't necessarily a one tiny small slip lane when you start engineering it because of the traffic impacts downstream, upstream, and what do you need maybe on the other side to build in. I can't answer that unless I have an engineer. First, you'd run traffic numbers to see what would, how could you phase this. But frankly, I think the longer term vision, if we can get that buy-in to do something like that, I think you're going to see, I will be in your ballpark 100% saying we got to find ways to get some funding down here.
So I think that the question is, I would want to know as a policy board member is, okay, so what exactly do you need from both policy boards to say, yeah, we want to get this started. We right. want you, we want you in our court. We want this process to get started, okay. No matter what. What do you need from us?
I'm going to talk to my region manager and tell him what we talked about today and say, hey, look, Frank, this is a great opportunity. What can we, what, where do you stand? I'm going to, I know I can convince him of this, but what do we want to give back to the city and the county in terms of this is what we're looking for? Who do you want me to communicate with, Rob and?
Jason.
Jason?
I think. You guys want Jason? I think we want Rob.
Well, I think somebody from the Kennedy. Kennedy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The
Public Works. Wade Elliott too. He's
okay. Yeah, Wade.
Yeah.
But I just think that we have we've got a problem out there, and if it needs to be part of a bigger fix, and Andrew, you're probably right.
It's gonna
this is
worse.
Opportunity. We've got so much happening out there that maybe it is time for another snapshot.
Well, yeah. The other thing. If you mind, don't mind me speaking. What I had talked to Lily about offline was she was asking about how to get projects and stuff, and I said, well, you know, because she was saying they do it in Medford and all this stuff, and I'm like, you know, I think there needs to be some sort of similar transportation advocacy board similar to what they do over in the Medford area. You know, you've heard of TRADCO, and it's basically a collection of the major power brokers in the town, and I'm not talking just the electeds, very few electeds. It's mainly
private driven, but it's
the business, the big business, the Stuart Foster, who was on the OTC, but he's also a businessman himself. We attend just as flies on the wall, and but you do have the electeds that come in. You have all these people, and they leverage those discussions in terms of. How do they, you know, a symbiotic relationship of putting, you know, 1 + 1 = 3. You know, we kind of, and it really gets people talking about the priorities. And then, since we're at those meetings, it's like this cross pollinization occurs, and we all are in this thing together. And I just, you know, if something like that could happen in Josephine County / Grants Pass, I think it'd be wonderful. I'd attend. I mean, and we could model it even something like that. Just, you know, get something started along those lines where we start talking about these issues and how do we solve them, how do we move them. And this is where you also bring in your legislators.
Right.
Your legislators come to those meetings because they're the ones that are going to be arguing. If they don't know about the 199s and the big Ys, they know about it. But if they don't know about the timing of a project that necessarily needs to be.
But there's nothing to them to hang their hat on right now.
Right.
There isn't anything. They don't have anything to take up there.
How many of them actually advocated for those projects during the House Bill 2017 process?
Right.
I don't know.
Unknown.
I don't know. So they need to know about it. So there needs to be a transportation advocacy avenue that, you know, and that's what I was talking with Lily about briefly, very briefly, and that's why she asked me to come to this meeting. And the lines of Island Creek, I was like confused, but it came out anyways, right?
So right. What was that acronym?
TRADCO. Transportation Advocacy Committee, blah, 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 whatever. I mean,
the original genesis of the Chamber of Commerce over there, we've got.
Yeah, the Chamber's involved, and what they do is the people, it's a group, it's like an informal charter, and they rotate around who buys lunch for the group every month. They have it monthly, same location. So like ODOT pays for it one time because we went, you get the Chamber will pay for it, you get Stuart Foster's company pays for it, you get not Mike Burrell, but the other guy. You get the big business, Harry and David will pay for it, and basically the people that are around the table, and that's how you get the conversation started. You have lunch, and then usually there's a topic that they talk about that they have a briefing on, and each of the individual jurisdictions, the county, the city, the major cities and that, give a quick update on projects too, and which doesn't normally happen to that group of people, the legislators, the businessmen, all at that same time. And that's how it gets the tentacles get out and start feeding things.
That'd be another chairman for Lily. She could be the chairman of that.
Chair. Let me move on to South Y, so we won't move very far. Was it 9 months ago we heard from the local ODOT rep that there's a landscape designer working on the new landscape for that? And just wondering if that, where that was at in the process. Is there...
I'll have to take that back.
I think it's on a little bit lower level. So we were working with George Harshman was here, and he was kind of taking care of, he's the regional maintenance supervisor.
He's a transportation maintenance manager who's, yeah, he's no longer there.
Yeah, and so we're in this... We're trying to get the new guy up to speed, and that's where it's at. But George was working on it, and then he left.
Well, I'll talk to Jerry. Huh. He's the district manager.
I thought they'd hired someone. Was he
handles that
drawing blueprints in his office?
We had a presentation at a workshop, I remember.
Yeah, I think we did too.
And I was like, yeah, this is done. Yeah, we're doing it.
It's on the tracks. Here it goes.
The only issue is who's going to buy the water, and I think we...
we offered water.
Yeah.
Well, I think with George quitting, he didn't retire, he just quit. There's some medical issues there. I think things just focused back on, operations and stuff. I'm not making excuses. I'm just surmising what probably happened.
Well, we'll pick it up and go again with it.
But Jerry knows it's still out there.
Right.
So it's
I'm sure he's well aware of what's going on and how far.
So I'll get the status on that.
Thank you.
That's the South Y landscaping, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. We can stop badgering Art now.
Frankly, this is a good one.
I just want to make sure, because I think I'm hearing two slightly different things. ODOT, it sounds like, would be interested in seeing the original Alternative A, or close to how it was built, but that had some untenable elements to it. If we're going back to those, I think we're promising a lot to assume that that climate's changed. Are we instead, would it make more sense to see if that Alternative A could be re-scoped to just include a third lane with now that operating signal at Allen Creek, because that's what changed the traffic patterns quite a bit.
I think what I would ask is, I think it's incumbent upon the city and the county to look at Alternative A again and see where those impacts
are. See if there's anything in Alternative A that can apply.
Salvageable.
They're still untenable.
Because it was the dead ending of Redwood Avenue. That's what blew it up.
Redwood Avenue does dead end, yes.
That we've done everything on Redwood Avenue. You say downstream and upstream, what impact would you have? And we fixed the downstream by putting in the signal at Allen Creek and Redwood Avenue, and also widening Redwood Avenue from there on out. And we've done three projects on Redwood Avenue since Alternative A was shot down. So we've taken care of everything downstream of that particular snarl. So I think that whole thing needs to be rescoped with a different idea. But I think probably used as a basis so that we get a shoe in the door is say we're going to drag out Alternative A and take a look at it.
Yep.
We can also, by that time, put into the mix what our plans are for the fairgrounds in that particular area out there. And then we'll have some traffic numbers that we think we're going to happen out there. A lot of the horse racing thing does not include traffic, because a lot of it's all parimutuel betting.
The one thing about the signal you mentioned, and that, Jerry Marvin agreed, go ahead and install it, it's working. For how long, we don't know. Is traffic, you know, because that queuing distance between that signal and, on Allen Creek to 199, if that becomes an issue, that becomes an issue. Because in the alternative A plan, that thing was going to be...
Yeah, realigned.
It was going to be a realignment of Everett Avenue, bowled out.
For longer queuing on Allen.
To get longer queue between the two signals.
But. So, you know, when you're looking at the plan, keep that in your mind that, yeah, the signal was put in, but don't necessarily think that that's a permanent fix. I mean, that's what I would say.
Right. Adding a third lane sends a lot more traffic down the eastern end of Redwood Avenue.
But it's going to send traffic that wants to go home. That's all I'm saying.
But if it blows up that signal at Allen Creek all the way back to 199, we're back to the same problem.
Right. Well, because I'm thinking if you look at alternative A and then cut off the old method at Allen Creek and,
here again,
and look at
I'm,
that end,
here again,
you might be able to blow the dust
off. This is typical. I'm thinking of it as a fix, and you're looking at how it will work, and I'm looking at the other way around.
I'm just anticipating what's going to happen. If we suddenly start sending an extra 3,000 cars...
And there are cars that are going there anyway.
But they're not. Some of those cars that are staying in the lane are moving up to Allen Creek and turning on down. So now people say, hey, it's quicker if I just hop on Redwood Avenue immediately. If Redwood Avenue stacks back east to the 199 off-ramp, you've got the same problems going that whole third lane queues all the way back.
Well, that's what it needs to be looked at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think we really need to look at alternative.
I think this is very good to hear this discussion, and I would like to bring that portion of EA out and look at it and probably look at it with a collective, not just, you know, look at myself first, because it's been 6 months since I looked at it last, and collectively see where it is that we have the hang-ups. But if we have the hang-ups, are they really hang-ups, or are they just old vestiges of the previous...
Right.
Yeah.
Some of that's been corrected.
Stuff, yes.
I mean, a lot of that stuff is, a lot of the stuff that was, it was such a drastic change at that time, and it's not so drastic.
This was a very high priority project for us when we started it. We started it from the west side moving in, because that was our main, you know, the big thing that got this started was the death of an 18-year-old young lady crossing out of the college down there, Randy Rep's daughter. And we wanted to take it all the way in, but then we got here. So if we can get this piece done, when I brainstorm this whole thing, and not saying that I have all the answers, but I was always thinking, man, we can get this thing fixed on the 199 corridor. We kind of have the east-west connection taken care of. So now we have enough juice to say we need to do the South-Y study to look at our north-south connectivity to include maybe some extra different work on 199 and possibility of a fourth bridge. Because can we do everything that we want in the South White location itself? Is that tenable? Or do we have to look at maybe somewhere else to get some of that crossing going? So that's what a large blown EIS EA would do, is it would look at now the north-south connectivity to include. And I would say we would want to make sure that they look at a fourth bridge as an alternative.
Well, I've got a book, transportation book, that I found in way back, and I don't even know what the date of the thing is, but it shows it before I-5 was even put in, but it shows I-5 and it shows that third bridge across the river down here, even way back then.
Huh.
The one there at the filtration plant, that was planned clear back in the 40s. That was way, way long time ago. And it was all on there. And it pretty well hit the path. So then, you know, when you say, well, fourth bridge, fourth bridge will not happen in my lifetime. It won't. I promise you that. Because it...
It would take a miracle.
Huh?
It would take a miracle.
Yeah, well, miracle.
But
it doesn't mean we can't look at it now and start planning for it.
Because when you're looking at alternatives, you got to look at all of them, and you discard them based on the data, not just on your gut feel. And, you know, a fourth bridge would help, right? People aren't going to come down 6th, 7th if they can go this way. So how does it impact the overall traffic flow? That's what we'd have. We would outline our purpose and need of an EIS. And I think this helps us also, this discussion here helps us discuss getting something. If we can get this moving, what can we do to really get this South Y thing moving? Because I've tried. I've been talking to the planning guys. Hey, where can I get some money for this? The dollars are tied up. And you all know, just to give you a lay of the land, House Bill 2017 basically took all the money for 15 years, right? We got what we got. There is no more unless we have another state bill. The odds on that are probably very slim because this is such a huge bill. This is the largest bill in Oregon history, state funded bill. We know several years back, federal earmarks went south, right? Mm-hmm. I'm hearing through the grapevine that there has been some conversation, I think through DeFazio's office and some others, that maybe the earmarks might be something that get discussed, not in this administration, but maybe in the next. Who knows? But what we got to do is be poised and ready if it does occur to be able to jump on that and have the right people in the town, legislators, power brokers, state senators, state representatives, federal representative delegates, even DeFazio, even though he's only in part of your district, he's the damn chair of the House Transportation Committee. He's the most powerful guy in the House on transportation. And if you could
bend, but we've got to have him think south of Eugene. That's DeFazio's problem.
Well, he thinks out there on 199 all the time. Trust me, we get a lot of input on him. And it's not a stretch to kind of involve him in a little bit further. At least when he's on the commission and he sees it, he goes, yeah, I think that's a
good project.
I've
been there, yeah.
Yeah.
I've driven that section of road.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the healthy discussion.
Yeah.
Sounds like we might have a new starting point. Anything else?
Maybe a monopoly your own meeting.
I think it was very productive, Art.
Thank you. Give us something to talk about.
Anything else you would like to talk about from your side, Sarahs?
Dan, I'd love to invite you to the Bikeways and Walkways Committee meeting next June.
Why? So you can just rip me apart like the Courier does? Is that what you're looking forward to?
No. Have I ever said that?
No.
No.
Play defense.
What did you have the date on it?
I will get it to you. I will text it to you.
Get it to Wendy.
Okay. Okay.
Get it to Wendy and okay. She can put it on my thing.
Aaron's going to be there.
Well, there's a reason for me to show up. Good chance to see Aaron Cuban.
Third Tuesday.
Wow, can I have your autograph?
Second.
Here, give me a piece of paper.
Yeah, I can get the band down. Yeah, I can.
We don't have any
spare. Make sure.
Bring your own paper.
Check with Wendy.
I will.
She'll drop down.
I'll do that.
Anything else for the good of the order?
I just want to then clarify sort of what we heard. I think one of the things we can do is maybe I'll work with Wade, and Wade can do some research on the Transportation Advocacy Committee, and we can maybe come back in our next meeting. We can have an idea of what it would take for us to put one together ourselves, if you'd be willing to take that on.
Right.
We'll do that, and we'll report back to you next
time. You guys do that,
time.
That'd be awesome. We'd be totally on
board. We're okay to be included in that, because I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. So we'll talk about the framework of it and what it would take for us to get that.
Well, we'd also, we want to hear what Cape Junction is, because we go through here to get to Cape Junction. So we want to hear from what the county's perspective. Yeah.
And then the other thing is that,
Billy Morgan on that.
My understanding is, Art, you're going to get back to the us, either, Wade or Rob or whatever, with regards to what you need from us to sort of get the ball rolling on the EISEA thing or whatever the step is to get some more ODOT support for Hawaii and moving forward with.
My plan is to talk to Frank and Mike and say, okay, here's what's on the table, guys. This is an opportunity. What do you think? This is what I think. Mesh that into some form of dialogue and come back with you with whatever that proposal is. I'm going to push hard to try to. I'm thinking maybe if we can supplement the EA, maybe we call it supplementing an environmental document once we go back and open it up and look at it again. If we can maybe agree that we are going to look at it together, say, yeah, we have a few issues with it, but let's reopen it, maybe we can work through it, but that we're going to sign an agreement that maybe we will work together on this, not be fighting each other. And then see how that also translates over into getting a project going. Ultimately, that, in my mind, feeds the push to try to find funding to get something for South Hawaii to start looking at that, too. And so this actually has gotten me re-energized on the...
I think one of the things that we...
Me too.
That, and this is just sitting here listening to it. It's amazing. It's amazing how much you and ODOT, the engineers and everything, want to bring to the table for Josephine County and Grants Pass, and the people and the powers that be in the city are saying no.
Well, it's not only that.
I think the atmosphere has changed from 10 years ago till now.
But we also, I want to bring stuff to you guys, but, you know, I get asked, why aren't we doing this? And the only answer I have is, well, we didn't get it in the bill, or we don't have funding. And how old does that get? That gets old real quick, right? But right. It's the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, to tell you the
it's
truth.
A reality.
Hell, my parents live out in Rouge. I used to come out in this area all the time. I mean, I was in Grants Pass just as much as I was in Bedford. And, you know, I know what it's like at Southwide.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd like to get it fixed.
But knowing that funding is thin and we're fighting for smaller pot of money, don't say pot. Now's the time, like you said, to get some scoping and engineering so that we can be ready if there was some bigger money, or at least have the plan in place so we could go, oh, finally we found a little bit of money, we could do this one thing and it would help.
And you know what you do too? You get the U.S. representatives of the world to occasionally attend this meeting. They're not necessarily going to come themselves, but they will send staff. We get staff from Walden's office, we get staff from White's office, we get staff from our other senator. Bringing Dad here. Berkeley's office that show up, and they take that information back and insert it. Mm-hmm. So it's this TRADCO thing I'm talking about. It's a really important little piece that
it's overlooked.
How do you think we got the $100 million for that bypass out
there? I was going to just say, when I first got on the RBI.
It was TRADCO. John Watt. You know John Watt, former legislator? Now he's a lobbyist.
Good name.
John Watt, basically, through a TRADCO meeting, basically went up and somehow they lobbied. The story behind that, he called me up and said in the session, Art, what can you do with $50 million? I said, do you want the politically correct answer or do you want the real answer? He said, I want the real answer. I said, if you're going to give me $50 million, don't give me anything. He goes, why? I said, because people's expectations are going to be too high. We can't build an expressway that is...
Sounds like a lot of money, but it doesn't cut the dust.
It's not long enough to suit people's needs. He says, what do you need? I said, I need at least $100 million. What did we get? $100 million. We already had $125. Now we have a five-mile bypass.
Yeah.
That's how those work.
And that all transpired, when I first got on the RV Act, it was just, let's put a little money aside for land acquisition. That thing was so far out in the future and just not even possible. And then all of a sudden,
it
happened.
You guys are interested in solid transportation lobbyist John Watt and Associates. He is, I'm telling you, he was a former legislator. He understands the business. He would join these meetings. I guarantee it. If you invited him, if we form a TRADCO here.
Sounds very hopeful.
Okay. Yep.
Liking it.
Anything else? Come across the parking lot.
Oh, I just want you Mayor? Were summarizing, and we didn't mention the center lane of 6th Street, but I saw you.
Yeah,
right
I'm gonna
now.
Drive that.
You saw it
like right now.
Okay.
And the other
just wanted to make sure it was still on.
Talking to Jerry about getting that damn landscaping.
Yeah.
Don't print that. Damn, don't print damn.
Blame it on me, I'm okay.
We already have a target, thanks.
That's me.
That Dan.
I get it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Dan said, he's a liar.
Tongue. He misspoke, he said.
Dan lied about this again.
Retired Air Force, we're slow, you know.
New Air Force?
I am, 20 years retired.
How long were you in, Roy?
Seven.
Seven? That's pretty long, too.
I was aircraft commander.
I couldn't last any more than four years of the Navy. My liver wouldn't have held up.
Oh, God. Drinks with seawater.
Right.
You went seawater. Yeah. Salt water not good for you.
Nice save. All right. Well, if there's nothing else, I'll
thank
go
you very
and
much
the
for attendance. And Art, thank you so much.
Here at 12.
I'm glad you showed up.